Well, her name is synonymous with the guided bus. She was the holder of the county's council's transport portfolio during the bidding process for the project, this before becoming leader of the council. However, Councillor Shona Johnson has played a less active part in local politics since being diagnosed with cancer. I'm happy to say that she's since made a recovery, but hasn't spoken about the guided bus for over 2 years. A few weeks ago, I met with Shona for an exclusive interview for BBC Radio Cambridgeshire.
Sitting in front of me is a lady who's been associated with the guided bus for an awful long time, Councillor Shona Johnson. I could see you shaking your head, so Shona, sorry to draw attention to you, but I think you can answer that question.
I still get emails about you. In other words, your name has become synonymous with the guided bus, even though it is some time now since you've had direct involvement. You've changed portfolios, you've had a period away because of not being very well, but for some reason I still get people who say to me, ask Shona Johnson this, or Shona's folly, or whatever. Do you think you're always going to be labelled with that?
That's quite interesting, because what I've seen recently in the press, it's all been about Matt Bradney being the architect of the guided bus. And I remember saying, you know, how times pass and how quickly people forget. So it's quite interesting that people haven't forgotten and they still remember. I'm quite happy to be associated with the guided bus. As I said recently, you know, it's a concept that I was proud to champion, because I still think at the end of the day, particularly when North Stowe is developed, and I'm sure that will happen at some point, at the end of the day, I think the guided busway will be a success.
But do you think it's easier for people to latch onto individuals rather than, you know, amorphous organisations like contractors or a county council? Because the recently retired chairman of BP said it was far easier to attack him as an individual than BP as a company. But it wasn't all down to him.
Both I and Matt have had to carry the can. And I think the analogy with BP is absolutely right, that it is very easy just to latch onto one individual person. And of course, at the time, you know, I was on radio and in the press an awful lot as we were going through the public inquiry, promoting the scheme and trying to explain to people why I thought it was the right thing to do. So, you know, if you're a politician, you have to accept that that's going to be the consequences, and, you know, you either get on with it and do it, or you get out.
Did you in your wildest dreams imagine that in 2011, early 2011, let's say, it still wouldn't be running?
No. And I'm very disappointed at the attitude of Nuttalls in their approach to it. I think they've done a good job, mostly in terms of construction, but the relationship at senior level is very disappointing, and I never thought that in 2011 it would still not be open. Then again, I thought the A14 upgrading would have happened by 2010, as we were promised by government many years ago.
You mentioned Nuttalls. Do you lay all the blame at their door, or do you think the county council must take some responsibility for the fact that the bus isn't up and running?
The county council have said that they're going to hold an inquiry on the completion of, I think, the legal processes into lessons to be learnt. As I understand it, it's a standard industry contract. I cannot see what more the county council could have done, and the project managers could have done, to have made BAM Nuttall deliver the scheme on time.
The Liberal Democrat MP for Cambridge, Julian Huppert, is among those people, and there are many of them, who've said the guided bus is an embarrassment. Are you still confident that when it is up and running, there will be enough people on it? Because that's the next obstacle, isn't it? It's all very well to say, well, you know, we have problems with constructing it, but people have got to use it now.
I think it will be successful because of the number of people that say to me how frustrated they are because they just want it open, because they just want to use it. And let's not forget that alongside is the cycleway, and if you go out there any time of the day, and especially at weekends, you see a lot of people cycling and walking. So without the busway even being open, I would say it's already been very successful in terms of the other benefits that we always said it would bring.
It's an expensive cycleway though, isn't it?
At present, yes.
Now, for some time we haven't heard from you. Just recently I've noticed a couple of letters in the paper. You've obviously sort of put your head above the parapet once again. What prompted you to do that?
Partly wanting to represent my constituents, particularly in terms of the constituents that I don't have at North Stowe, because I represent the bulk of what will be the North Stowe area. And I have their interests at heart, even though they are not there yet. And I want to make North Stowe a success, because if North Stowe isn't a success, it will impact hugely in a very negative way on all the other villages around and the villages that I represent in Long Stanton, Willingham and Over. So, you know, as much as representing my constituents in North Stowe, I want to make sure that my constituents' interests are also represented in the other villages. So partly that, you know, I'm now better having been ill, and, you know, I'm back into the political fray, as it were.
You mentioned having been ill. Has the battle that you've had over the past couple of years, and it has been a battle, has that changed your attitude to things, to life or even to politics?
In a way, yes, because clearly, having had that sort of illness, it does inevitably change the way that you think about things. And I think I'm much more interested in community infrastructure and community development than perhaps I might have been in the past. I'm certainly even more enthusiastic about sustainable development and as what might be described as green policies. I mean, clearly, when you have cancer and you've recovered from cancer, and I've had excellent treatment at Addenbrookes, you do start to think about things differently. And I think what I would say is that I now look much more to the world beyond me, the world after I've gone, and my children's world and grandchildren's world, hopefully. So I'm wanting to ensure that actually it's a good place for them to live, and their quality of life is good, that places like North Stowe are not just simply housing estates, but they're real communities where people actually thrive and flourish. So I think I'm much more convinced about the need for real sustainable development than perhaps I was.
And you probably had plenty of time for retrospection. Is there anything that you would have done differently when it comes to the guided bus in particular, looking back and knowing what we know now?
Possibly my style might have been different. But at the time, it was an argument we needed to fight, we needed to win in terms of making sure that the development strategy was right. Perhaps I didn't explain it well enough with the electorate. I don't know. I still maintain that the approach from Chums, with the upgrading of the A14, with the guided busway and the upgrading of the railway line between Felixstowe and Nuneaton, was the right solution for this area. I think perhaps I would have argued more strongly against the very grandiose plans that the A14 came up with. I think perhaps it was just too big a scheme, and that's why the government's cancelled it. But I still think at the end of the day, the concept of the guided busway is the right one for this area.
And if you're offered the portfolio again, would you take it?
Possibly.
Councillor Shona Johnson, who I spoke to a couple of weeks ago, and whatever the ins and outs of the guided bus, I think there is no doubting her courage, and it was great to be able to talk to her once again, and I wish her well.